Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, alongside with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent-choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is December 31st, 2015, and we're going to talk about boredom and passion. My guest is Dr. Andrew Sepp, a Ph.D. Good afternoon. Welcome. Glad to have you here, Andy.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on, Lon.
Well, Andy is the founder of Cherry Gulch and Novitas Academy, therapeutic boarding schools in South Idaho. And the topic is helping bored teens discover passion. So let's talk a little bit about what you mean by passion, because there's several meanings on that term. So what do you mean by passion? What kind of passion should the kids have that you have in mind?
What I mean by that is just anything that they love and they're interested in, they're enthusiastic about and they're inquisitive about, and really anything that kind of naturally motivates them. And when I'm saying anything that's, you know, healthy and appropriate, of course, but that's a big part with students being bored, is that they don't really feel like they connect. They don't have anything that they're interested in, that they're passionate about. And so to help them find that kind of spark to light the fire of wanting to learn is what I'm talking about for passion.
Okay. That reminds me of, well, I've seen several reports that preschoolers and early elementary grades of kids have a lot of enthusiasm about school and curiosity, and every year the studies show they get less and less of that. And the number one thing I've heard criticism of our education in this country is especially the brighter students, they're bored, they're not challenged, there's nothing to do. So what's the problem with a kid being bored?
Well, one problem with a kid being bored is just, as you know, they can get in trouble, they can start going down the wrong road and get into things that are not a healthy or appropriate interest and get themselves into trouble. But yeah, kids are born inquisitive. They want to explore, they want to learn, they like learning, and learning is fun. And so there is something lost in the educational system where we have so many students that are bored and don't want to learn and kind of shut down and don't use their minds, because what I was always taught as a kid, and you know, certainly before being a professional, is that, you know, intelligent people aren't bored because we've got imagination, we've got creativity. When I was a kid, we would play with rocks and sticks, and you know, we would make something cool out of that, at least in our heads. There was that kind of fantasy component. And I had read something from Einstein the other day that said, you know, if you want your kid to be smarter, have them read more fiction and fantasy books, because that's what we're looking for, is that creative mind. And so many times I think they're shut down into such a worksheet or a packet, or read this you know, piece of work from the textbook that you're not interested in at all, and they focus so much on those pieces that the students aren't interested in, we lose them. And then for some of those really bright students, they're mixed in with the students that can't do as well, or at least not yet, and need more work. And so they're slowed down, and that can be a little dull. But there's a lot of reasons, I think, why kids are bored now in school. And some of it is an over-focus on the assessments and the testing, and not enough creative, fun learning, not enough getting outside and running and playing and learning through hands-on, real-world, relevant, kind of applied activities so they can see why it matters.
You know, another thing I'd add to that is they begin to think that school is drudgery, that learning is not important or it's drudgery. And I've seen a number of people, including people that have advanced degrees, you go into their home, not a book in sight. They don't read except maybe technical stuff for their work. That's just pathetic, because that's happened, because a century ago, this was a very literate country, and people are curious and they like to read, and sometimes the only book they had was the Bible, and they would study that, and that's not an easy one to understand. So there's something happening, and there's a boredom in this, and the boredom, as you say, kids get into troubles. There's an old saying, idle hands are the devil's devil tools, or something like that, and they get into trouble, or they just give up. Oh, so what? I don't want to be an adult.
Yeah.
So those are some of my thoughts. So how can you get a, you take a bored kid, what can you do, or what do you do to help bored kids there at the academy?
Lana, if we can, if you don't mind, if we can address that piece of boredom a little bit first, and what I wanted to say about that was just that, you know, being bored, there's certainly a level of boredom that can be explained away by a lack of activities and things like that. But there is boredom that is clinically significant. And like I said, and like you just mentioned, we're born to be creative and inquisitive and exploring, and that's really what is natural for us, is to want to learn and to soak up information. So if you have a student who doesn't want to learn and doesn't want to get out and do anything and just says that I'm bored, there's nothing to do, but so many times I've seen students like that that say they're bored, there's nothing to do, you give them stuff to do and they still don't want to do it. And that's more indicative of depression and that anhedonia, the lack of ability to experience pleasure. And a kid that may have at one time loved shooting hoops but has no interest in it now, that's anhedonia. Or also with depression, difficulty concentrating, that kind of lethargy, lack of energy. And some of that can be contributing to what looks like boredom. And so that's something that would be good to seek counseling for if a parent thinks that maybe that has a component for their son. Also, I think sometimes they say I'm bored. It's kind of like in school, it's better to be bad than dumb. It's better to be the class clown and kind of get in trouble than to reveal that you don't know something. And sometimes students are kind of say they're bored, but what they're really saying is they have a low self-esteem, they have low self-confidence, they've kind of got this learned helplessness, they don't think that there's anything they can do. And so they'll say they're bored and won't be show any motivation. Then a third basic type is kind of what I call teenage retirement and that affluenza. They feel like, well, you know, I'm going to get everything my parents have got, and so I don't have to do anything. And they go on this teenage retirement, and they don't think they need to lift a finger. And so for those students, there needs to be a little bit more urgency and that necessity of getting out there and doing something, that going out and making your own way and making something of yourself and creating or contributing, that's good for one's self-esteem. It's good for one's self-confidence. It makes us excited. It makes us want to get up and go to work because we feel like we're making a difference in the world. And so I think that those are really important things to consider on that topic of boredom. So then you had mentioned the what do we do about it. One thing that
let's differentiate. You've had three types of boredom there.
Okay.
And the first one is unchallenged, to oversimplify. The second one was a pathologically depression or something. But it comes across and looks like bored. And the third one is a lack of curiosity, or you know, the last that you talked about, that they were they need activities and they don't know what to do. So when you're talking, and I imagine the number one that you get involved is the second one, the depression, and where there's some pathology involved with their boredom.
Yeah, a lot of times for us, there's certainly that component.
Okay, so that's a pretty broad to try to go on all three of them. Let's talk about the one where there's some pathology. There's more than just a lack of curiosity or unchallenged. There's some sort of depression, but it comes across as bored, or they use that as an excuse. Talk a little bit about what they need. What kind of interventions do they need?
So, of course, I would have a psychological assessment done and have, you know, a psychologist or a licensed therapist meet with them and try to help them through some of those challenges, or maybe a psychiatric evaluation as well, and to check on the need for medication. So other than kind of those typical things that you might do for depression, what we also want to do is have some activity scheduling and provide a variety of activities and experiences. And we want to broaden their horizons. We want to help them start to find something that they might really enjoy and they would want to do. And certainly as the depression is relieved, a lot of that will happen anyway. So the things that I'm talking about now sort of apply to all those categories we just talked about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But so we also will do this college and career assessment and this, you know, kind of career testing, use the Myers-Briggs and the Strong Interest Inventory and the CPI, and then some proprietary card sorting tasks that Dr. Janet Greenwood had created, and we're the only school in the country actually certified to use that currently. And so those are really cool for kind of career values and college values and lifestyle values. So we're helping a team gain that insight into who they are and where they want to be. And then we start helping them set goals and to plan this, my 10-year plan, which includes three pieces. Who am I, which ties into the therapy, and then what do I want, which ties into the assessment process, and then how am I going to get it, which ties back into the goal setting. So, and then also there's the internship and the project-based learning and some of the other things that your listeners might be interested in. But really, we want to structure those activities, get them out there, and so they experience things, and hopefully that'll help to relieve their depression if they have any, but it'll also open their eyes to other possibilities and maybe find something that they're excited about.
The basic takeaway I take from that is that all the kids, if they're hearing boredom, is activities and help them establish and look for goals. And then, of course, if it seems to be chronic or more severe than that, then maybe some psych assessments on that. But goals, all kids need goals, all people need goals, and activities, we all need activities.
You know, and one other kind of component of all this is that sometimes you've got parents who are sort of deciding everything for their kids, and they're telling them what they're going to have to be, as far as, you know, you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a CEO, and you know, you better do this or that. And as a student, that student may resist that because they feel like, well, I'm not going to be able to fill my dad's shoes or my mom's shoes, and so that's a lot of anxiety and pressure, and being pushed to do something you don't want to do is going to lead to natural resistance. And then for me, I'm not a math guy. Like, math bores me to death, and you know, whether they're good numbers or bad numbers, I just, it's not my thing, and that would never be a good fit for me. It's not something I'm ever going to be passionate about or excited about. But for somebody else, they'll love that. And so part of it is getting parents at times to back off and to allow their son or daughter to explore the things that they're interested in rather than the things that mom or dad wants them to be interested in. And I think that once a student is free to kind of explore their interests and their passions, then it's so much easier to get them out of that bored state because, you know, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it because they're interested in it, not because, you know, mom and dad are telling them to, or they think that mom and dad will only approve if they do X, Y, or Z.
You know, that's another element in there, that listening to the kids, listening to what they say, what they do, in order to help them find the goals and what they're really interested in. And back off. Helicopter parenting, a no-no, I'm sure. Well, we've about ran out of time, but could you tell a little bit about Novadis Academy, type of kids that you work with, and then a little bit, if somebody wanted to ask you about it, or if they wanted to talk to you about this whole topic, how would they get a hold of you? So you talk about Novadis Academy first.
So Novitas Academy is a high school, boarding school for boys with learning differences. But what we're really looking for are innovative, creative, outside-the-box thinking, entrepreneurial young men. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do is help kids find their passions and to set some goals for their future, and then to have that growth mindset and work towards those goals. So that's really us in a nutshell. And then if people want to reach me, they can certainly, well, they can find us at NovitasAcademy.org, or they can call me at the office here, 208-954-5085. That's 954-5085. Or you could email us at info@NovitasAcademy.org. And Novitas is spelled N-O-V-I-T-A-S.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, thank you. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and we've been talking with Dr. Andrew Sepp. He's a founder of Cherry Gulch and Novitas Academy in southern Idaho, and we've been talking about boredom and passion and how you can help bored teens discover their passion. Well, thank you very much, Andy. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise, Lon. Thanks for having me on.